Good afternoon. We're back with another episode of the Sean Moe Hoops podcast. Pleased to have two guests on this episode, Stephen Kalail, who was on one of the initial episodes, and then Dan Russo, who was on just a few weeks ago after his visit to Phog Allen. We have both Steve and Dan joining today. How are you guys doing?
Doing well, Sean. Thanks for having us on.
Great. Going to kind of kick it off with the Louisville-Virginia game. Virginia was coming off their big win at Duke, so definitely proving that they're a team to take seriously. And then got a brief scare from Louisville, not too much of one, but continued their undefeated play in ACC. And I'll kick it over to Steve, who is a Louisville grad, and get his thoughts on the game.
Hey, thanks, Sean. Yeah, with the Louisville and UVA game, it was a promising start for Louisville because they got a couple of there's a couple uncharacteristic turnovers from UVA, and Louisville was able to convert early down low and with Ray Spalding, and had a couple timely shots. But unfortunately for the Cardinals, they certainly couldn't keep they couldn't defend Kyle Guy at all. Kyle Guy was coming off screens and just draining three-pointers. And frankly, for the whole game, UVA was just hitting three-pointers from all over the place. I believe Guy and his backcourt mate, Jerome, combined for 38 total points against Louisville. So, you know, if you're playing against a UVA team that it prides itself on pack line defense, and they're also shooting over 50%, it's nearly impossible to win against them. So overall, I'm not too disappointed for the Cards, because they did shoot 50% against UVA, which is the only team this season to be able to do that against them, which is great. But just too many turnovers, and just not defending their backcourt well enough overall.
Yeah, I was surprised. Quinn Snyder was expecting a little bit better game from him as a senior, and with his ability to drive to the basket, but only finished with 5 points, 1 for 5. And as you said, you know, Guy dominated with 22 points, and Jerome hit some timely shots with 16. So, you know, definitely could have been an improved effort from Snyder. But last time I had Dan on the pod, we did a buy sell with UVA, and I was buying Tony Bennett and selling UVA. But have your thoughts changed with their wins over Duke and Louisville, or are you still high on the Wahoos?
No, you know, watching them kind of beat Duke and then come back it up with a win against Louisville, I don't think my opinion's really changed. You know, they looked. It looked incredible the first half against Duke, running out to a big lead. But kind of the inconsistency on offense and reliance on the jump shot that we saw the second half against Duke. And then, you know, Steve mentioned that they beat Louisville in part because they knocked down so many threes. I think it's still a risk for them in the tournament. I think the one kind of differentiator from past years, maybe DeAndre Hunter, he can get healthy. I know he's kind of hobbled by an ankle injury at the moment, but he's athletic, more athletic than anybody they probably had, and a little bit more talented on offense, able to create his own shot from a getting to the basket standpoint. So, you know, he gives him a little bit of a different dimension, and I've been impressed with him over the past couple games, specifically the first half against Duke, holding his own against kind of Bagley and Wendell Carter, that front line. But I don't think much has changed. They're incredible defensively. Really tough at home, as they showed today against Louisville, and some tough guards. But we'll have to see if they get into another Syracuse situation where they get pressured like they did in the Elite Eight a couple years ago, and start turning the ball over. You know, their loss this year, right, against West Virginia, another team that gets up in your face and pressures defensively. We'll have to see if they run into that in the tournament, how they do.
So do either one of you guys think they can go 18-0 in the ACC? They're already 10-0, so 8 games to go, and it looks like 5 away games and 3 home games left.
And I think they can. I think they've got a chance to do it, just because, I mean, they've clearly asserted themselves as the number one team. I do wonder if there's a hot shooting team comes in and can knock them off. if the or maybe even a team that's extremely athletic could probably do it. But I certainly think it's possible.
Yeah, they play, I'd say their toughest games at Florida State and then at Miami. But other than that, I mean, overall, you know, the ACC unbalanced schedule, and I just don't think the ACC is that good this year. There's a bunch of average teams, and then I'd say Duke and UVA are the only real title contenders. But, you know, with UVA, they're undefeated. So 10 games in, who would you guys give the ACC player of the year to? Would it go to Kyle Guy on an undefeated team or somebody like Bagley, who has just been an absolute monster, putting up ridiculous double doubles each game?
You know, I think I'd probably give it to, I think you have to give it to Kyle Guy. I mean, his team, right, undefeated. We've been talking about them. They have a 3-game lead in conference play at this point. They're balanced. So he's probably their best player, but you know, Devin Hall does it on both ends of the floor, leading shooter in the conference. But Duke is kind of the same way. It's not like Bagley's out there by himself. They have a rack of 5-stars, and Wendell Carter's averaging, or not averaging, but putting up double doubles, and Gary Trent's dropping 30 back-to-back games. So it's not like Bagley's out there playing by himself. So I think just given the 3-game lead in the conference, you have to give it to somebody from Virginia. I think Kyle Guy's probably the guy from that squad at the moment.
What about you, Steve? Who's getting the ACC Player of the Year?
Yeah, I kind of have to agree with Dan on this one. I do think it's a toss-up between Guy and Marvin Bagley, but I would give the edge to the Guy, mainly because the team performance from UVA this year. And okay. UVA really, I mean, with Kyle DeGuy, they've got other players in their team that are, you know, it's a true team effort with UVA as it is with Duke. But just due to the record, I've got to go with Kyle Guy.
Okay. Well, we'll see if he's able to hold on to that. I mean, he could get it as a sophomore, and unlike Bagley, who'll be going in the top, you know, top 2 to 3 draft picks, I don't see Kyle Guy leaving the comfy confines of JPJ in Charlottesville for another few years. So he'll definitely be around to win it again. But enough UVA talk. I just want to touch on some of the other teams, but I usually like to start doing a buy sell segment. So I'm going to start with another Stephen favorite in Kentucky. They had a big come from behind road win at West Virginia over the weekend, and then got extremely lucky at home last night against Vanderbilt and pulled that one off in overtime. But are you guys buying or selling Kentucky as a team to be reckoned with in the tournament?
I'm selling Kentucky. probably no shocker for me, but the main reason why is they've got a 9-player rotation, and 7 of them are freshmen. And I think that their freshmen this year are all, I mean, they're all studs, but they don't have a true leader, in my opinion. I think Kevin Knox has kind of been the man and by default, but I don't feel like a player has really taken reins of that team to be the emotional leader. You know, the Vanderbilt win is nice, but that's a game that, from a talent perspective, they should have won that game by, you know, double digits easily. I kind of expected Diallo to be the emotional leader of the team, and I think he sort of acts in that way, but I don't, I'm not overly impressed with them, and I'm selling them.
Okay. What about you, Dan? You buying the Wildcats?
Just to be different, I'll buy them. Although, you know, Steve makes a good point. The fact that, you know, Diallo is expected to be the leader, and what he's a redshirt freshman. So it's not like he's been around a long time and has been through it, before, but, I'll buy, for the same reason that Steve's selling, right? They're really young, and maybe they're finally starting to put it together with that second half comeback at West Virginia, and then toughing out a game where, right, they're the more talented team, but they were being outplayed, and they just showed some moxie and toughed it out. So, you know, the way they get to the second weekend or make a Final Four run in the tournament is Knox is the best player on the floor in most of their games, right? He put up 30 earlier this week, and he, you know, if he can average 20, 25 during the tournament, then they have a chance. You know, I think they're both their point guards are playing better. You know, they made the swap, and Green's now coming off the bench. Alexander starting, he's been good. So if he can continue to provide some scoring punch with Knox, and then they get one or two different guys stepping up each game, I think they have, certainly just based on talent, you have to give them an opportunity to make a run to the second weekend.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Dan. I'm buying Kentucky. Kevin Knox, I think, is starting to put it together. You know, the question mark around him was, could he shoot the ball coming out of high school? And in high school, he was always able to knock down some threes, but he was usually doing it at a 30% or below clip, and he's up to 35%. Had a great game at West Virginia. Dan touched on the point guard change. You know, when they signed Quade Green, highly decorated All-American, but definitely not the point guard that Kentucky is used to. And I think having Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in the lineup, he put up, you know, 30 against Vanderbilt and has definitely been moving up the NBA draft chart. So he kind of provides a different, I guess, athleticism to that lineup. So I think I'm buying right now. I think they can definitely be a dangerous tournament team, but will be interesting to see the ups and downs over the last part of the SEC. But I guess keeping it in the SEC, this is one team I have not watched a whole lot of, and I'd say I'm still skeptical on them. Just kind of, I am Ohio State, but right now we have Auburn in the SEC, who is sitting at 8-1. And they've only lost two games on the whole year, one to Temple, their third game of the year, and then they lost a road game at Alabama. But other than that, Bruce Pearl is sitting at 20-2 and atop the SEC. So what about Auburn? Are you guys selling them in the SEC, or are you guys going to take a buy on the Tigers?
I'm going to buy Bruce Pearl as National Coach of the Year at this point, and I'm going to sell the Auburn
National
Tigers.
National Coach of the Year.
Doing
over Tony
in,
Bennett
in the tournament. I mean, so the reason that you would vote for Bruce Pearl is that he lost two starters before the season started. They weren't picked to be at the top of the SEC, and he's got them out, as you said, 20-2, playing really good basketball. The reason that he's probably not going to win is that the two guys he lost are because they're under FBI investigation, and it's not his first dalliance with trouble. So I can't imagine the writers voting him National Coach of the Year. But to take a team that was projected to be in the middle of the SEC, take two starters off, including probably the best projected player, and then have them be 20-2, I don't see how you couldn't give it to him if those two guys had been hurt for the year instead of suspended.
Okay. What about you, Steve?
I'm weirdly going to buy Auburn as a team this year. I've watched a little bit of them this year, and the little I've seen, they've impressed me. They've got a strong roster, although they are a little decimated by a couple of the from the FBI scandal. But I'm going to go with them.
Okay, well, the FBI scandal definitely hasn't slowed Auburn down, and I think there's a few other SEC teams that haven't been too concerned with what the FBI is investigating. Definitely a school over in Baton Rouge as one. But moving out of the SEC, I'm going to go into out of the Power Five, and I'm going to go to Cincinnati. They are currently number 5 in KenPom, and I know they're, you know, an extremely strong defensive team. Not usually known for their offensive abilities, but you know, they've been kind of running over the American Athletic Conference. And I know kind of going into the season, they were, you know, preseason top 10, which I was a little skeptical of. And even today, had a nice win over Temple, I believe, Houston. But are you guys buying Cincinnati at all?
I'm going to buy Cincinnati the same way I always buy Cincinnati. They're well coached. They're tough, but they do struggle to score. They don't get challenged a ton in conference play. You said they beat Houston, who I think is third in the conference. They haven't played Wichita State yet, so they have to go to Houston, and they have to play Wichita State twice still. So that'll give us a better, I think, barometer of where they are. But I do think, you know, they'll be in one of those scrappy 66, 65 coin flip games in probably the first round, probably the second round if they get there. And I think they're legit shot to get to the Sweet 16, maybe the Elite Eight. I can't see them getting to a Final Four. I just don't think they have the firepower to get there.
What about you, Steve?
I'm going to sell them. It's hard for me to buy them at this point until they played Wichita State, which is, as Dan mentioned, for me is the barometer in the AAC. I mean, beating Houston's nice. They had I believe they had an 18 point comeback today against them, which is impressive. But I got to see them play the cream of the crop team, in my opinion, for the AAC. So until then, I'm going to be selling.
Okay, well, I'm right there with you. I'm always selling bad offensive teams and good defensive teams, which they are one. Although I do like Gary Clark, kid from North Carolina that Ken Pom has in his top 10, and Kyle Washington, who is also a NC State transfer. So they do have some talent along with Jerron Cumberland and Jacob Evans. But, you know, I think defense wins in the regular season, but they could easily get upset in the tournament. So I'm going to, we'll do one last buy sell, and I'll go to the Big East where Dan's conference. And I'm going to go with Creighton. Right now they are 17-5 and they're sitting pretty at 7-3 in the Big East with a big road matchup against Villanova coming up. But I know they lost their center Martin Cramp. I don't even know how you pronounce his last name, Martin Crample. But he was kind of a guy that had the potential to break out this year, even though he only scored 2 points a game last year, and he certainly did so. But they've still been playing extremely well, especially behind the play of Khyree Thomas. So are you guys buying Creighton as a potential team to make a run in the tournament? I'll go with Dan on that one.
Yeah, I'm gonna sell Creighton. I do think they are talented. I really like Khyree Thomas. I think he's a legit NBA 3-and-D prospect. He's really stepped his game up. Marcus Foster is also right, the scoring guard. But I just don't see. I don't see them getting very far once they run up against some quality competition in the tournament. You know, their two losses are to two of the three ranked teams they played in conference. They've got a big challenge. They play Villanova first time actually tomorrow night, so Thursday. Thursday night. Well, I think that'll tell us a lot. But I just think they're a level below the Villanova, the Xaviers, and even Seton Hall, who they're a half game or a game ahead of in conference right now.
What about you, Steve?
Yeah, I think I'm going to sell Creighton. You know, I in my Def Pen preview this year for the Big East, I highlighted Marcus Foster, and I'm still sticking with him as an all conference player in the Big East. However, I don't know if they're in that upper tier in the Big East, and they did have an impressive win this year, a couple impressive wins, but I'm not really sure if I'm overly comfortable with Creighton just yet.
Okay. Yeah, I'm probably on a sell. I mean, they're a talented team and they are fun to watch, but I think the Villanova and Xavier are the class of the Big East, and those will be the two teams making the tourney runs out of anyone there. I actually want to do one more team and going to go to Kansas, who I know Dan got to watch in person a few weeks ago, but once again, it looks like they are going to be winning the conference. Right now, they're one game ahead of Oklahoma, but they'll get Oklahoma back home along with West Virginia. And really, they had that road loss to Oklahoma, but besides that, they've been playing extremely well after starting out 1-1 in the conference. And, you know, every year, you know, Kansas, you know, they might be tested early on, but then they end up winning the Big 12. And I think the Big 12 was probably from top to bottom the most competitive conference. So are you guys selling or buying Kansas right now?
You know, I talked a lot about Kansas on the last pod, so I want to hear what Steve has to say first.
All right, Steve.
I'm actually going to buy Kansas. And the reason why I'm buying them is because I think there are a couple early losses. They were, you know, they lost to the West Coast teams early on, and I think they kind of do this, and they shook it off. And like you mentioned earlier, the Big 12 is, in my opinion, the best conference this year. And for them to have a pretty good conference record already, and they're kind of figuring it out, I'm going with it. And I was actually pretty impressed with their last win against Kansas State. KSU, that atmosphere that they went into Kansas State, I mean, it was a rocking atmosphere at Kansas State, and they went in there and they took care of business. So I think they're on the upswing, and I'm buying Kansas.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, this, well, pretty much every year is the year of the freshman in terms of who's getting drafted in the top five, top 10 lottery for the most part. And this year should be no different. So the veteran teams, the Villanovas, the Purdues, and the UVAs are the teams at the top of the standings. But when it comes to the NBA draft, it's mostly going to be the one and done freshmen. So I'd love to get your thoughts. And I'll start with Steven. But Steven, if you had to pick your top freshman right now, who would it be? So I want to do one pick from all of us, and then we'll kind of do a snake draft, just, you know, for the top six freshmen. So if you had the first pick, who are you taking as a top freshman so far?
Well, I think it's pretty easy to pick Trae Young as a top freshman, strictly because he's pretty much been putting up Steph Curry like numbers and playing video game numbers. I think he is probably been the most impressive freshman to me. But if you're asking me also in regards to NBA potential, I wouldn't pick Trae Young just yet.
Okay. Well, yeah, he's coming off a 40 plus point performance last night, and he did so very efficiently, which had been an issue at times. So can't really argue with that one. But if Dan is going number two, I assume I know who you're going to pick. But who would you take at the two spot?
Yeah, I think I'm going to surprise you guys. Going to take DeAndre Ayton. He gets a little less pub than Marvin Bagley. He plays on the West Coast and doesn't play at Duke. So just by the sheer fact of those two things, he's a little bit less in the limelight. But you have to like for NBA potential, just that body type, right? 7 foot, 260, but really athletic. Can step out a little bit. I think he's learning to play power forward. You know, being paired up with Ristich out there at Arizona, he's a good passer. He's shown more than I thought he would in a pass, being able to pass the ball and being a really good defender. So I think he's going to translate really well to the NBA.
Okay. Ayton is a freak of nature, and anybody from UNC knows that firsthand. After his freshman year in high school, he played with a club team in the Bahamas, and in a scrimmage against UNC, which had a rising junior and Bryce Johnson and Kennedy Meeks, Ayton put up, I think it was like 20 points and 22 rebounds against a college front court as just a sophomore in high school. So he is a freak, and he's added a lot of strength and definitely some awareness to his game. So I think that is a good pick. And I guess as an aside, I'd say out of all the players I've interviewed in high school, Ayton definitely gave me one of the funnier quotes when I asked him how it felt to go against UNC's front line. And he said, well, you know, I started out, I was really nervous, really, really timid about going against these guys. And they got me pretty early. And then he's like, I just told myself, man, I'm going to give these boys some buckets. And he's like, and boy, did I give them buckets. And when he said that, I just started cracking up. And, you know, at the time he was only 16 or 17, but moving on from DeAndre with number three, I'm going to go Bagley. He's been, getting love from the very beginning. He's averaging 21.5 points and 11.4 rebounds, and has just been an absolute monster. I guess most surprising, he's actually hit 15 threes, shooting 34%. And that was, you know, he hadn't really shown that, at least consistently, in high school. Now, I don't know where Duke would be if they hadn't got him basically at the last minute after reclassing after, you know, 2.5 years of high school. But besides that, he's been an absolute man child. And, you know, I know there's some question marks if he should go number one, but in terms of production, he's been an absolute beast and easily the best player at Duke. So if we're going to continue on the snake, I'm going to go number four, and I'll leave Colin Sexton for one of you guys if you want him, but I'm going to go with one of my favorite guards, and what could have been one of Dan's favorite guards is Tremont Waters. A little 5'11" point guard out of LSU is having quite the season. He's 110 offensive rating and is shooting 36% from behind the 3-point line. And he's struggled over his last few games actually in the SEC, but has been able to put an average team on his shoulders and has really played tremendously. So while he's definitely not at the stature of a Sexton or a Trey Young, he's definitely played well and should be around for a few years to try to lead LSU and all the SEC bagmen back to the tournament. So, Dan, who are you going with at number five?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna take who you left on the board, Colin Sexton. He's been you want to talk about freaks of nature and ridiculous athletes. That's Colin Sexton. He's about 6'3", but he plays like a mix of like a Eric Bledsoe and a mini Russell Westbrook, just imposing physicality on you as much as he can. Against Oklahoma, they got the win, and I thought he got the better of Trey Young. Obviously, he doesn't shoot quite as much or have the ball in his hands quite as much. But from a NBA scouting perspective, he showed that kind of the way that Trey Young is to Steph Curry, Colin Sexton is the kind of that Russell Westbrook, a little bit more imposing physically and able to get up and guard. And I thought he did a really good job on Young, kind of face guarding and making life difficult for him. I think he's kind of coming into his own, and I think he'll we'll be hearing more from him as we go down the stretch and into tournament play.
Okay. And with the last pick, Steven, who are you going with as the number six pick?
All right. Well, I really wanted Colin Sexton on that one, so thanks, Dan. But I'm going to go with Jaren Jackson, actually.
Ah.
I'm a big fan of his game. He's come along in Big Ten play, I think. He started off fairly well in his career at Michigan State, but he's really pushed along. Although he didn't have his best game today against Penn State, he's really become the best prospect on that loaded Michigan State team, even including Miles Bridges. So he's who I would take as my final pick.
Okay, yeah, I mean definitely a freak. And at the end of the Maryland game, after Michigan State had completed their comeback, they had one last effort, and Anthony Cowan went driving to the basket, and for a second thought he had an open layup, and Jackson, you know, leapt from a few feet outside of the basket, pinned the ball on the glass, and still managed to maneuver his body to grab the ball before falling out of bounds, which just kind of showed his length, his athleticism, and flexibility all in one play. So definitely not a bad pick. So, well, on that note, you know, it's entering February, so about a month left of conference play before all the college tournaments start up. But I guess as a final note, is there anything that you guys are excited to watch or looking forward to as we enter the final home stretch of the regular season?
Yeah, I think I'm excited to see a couple things. If Virginia can finish the ACC play undefeated, if Purdue can do the same in the Big Ten, and then, you know, in the Big 12, which I think you referenced earlier, and I think is the best conference Power Six wise this year, if Kansas can continue their run of finishing atop the leaderboard, and like you said, they have a one game lead and a game and a half lead on Oklahoma and Texas Tech respectively. So if they can they can hold on there. Bill Self pulling out all the tricks to keep them atop the leaderboard. Those are the three things that I'm looking forward to seeing.
Okay. What about you, Steve?
Yeah, I think that the big things that I'm looking forward to seeing at the towards the home stretch here is definitely the way the Big 12 is shaking out. I was pretty much shocked that how good the competition is this year and how so many games have been closely contested and the talent level has been fairly high. Another thing is keeping an eye on Purdue as that team keeps performing very well in the Big Ten. I'm impressed with their experience and a couple of young guys that they have on their team. I was really high on Michigan State, and I still am. I know that they have the multitude of scandals going on over there that's kind of hanging over their head, but I'm looking forward to seeing what Purdue can do, and I think this might be the year that they can not just win the Big Ten, but they can make a really deep run in the tournament. I like their experience, and you know it's a due time for a Matt Painter team to finally materialize in the tournament. They've had so many rough years with the Robbie Hummel injuries of years past, and just bad luck. So I think this is the year for Purdue.
Well, yeah, Purdue, not this weekend, but next weekend, they have their lone game against Michigan State playing at East Lansing on Saturday, February 10th. So that definitely will be the best game of the Big Ten conference slate. So it'll be interesting to watch that one. Unfortunately, there's no return game at Mackey Arena. But, yeah, Purdue, they've been playing really well and have a lot of seniors, and they have a good combination of athleticism and experience. I guess for me, I'm going to, being out on the West Coast, kind of stay out here since we haven't really touched on any hoops out this way besides for DeAndre Ayton. But in the Pac-12, Arizona is leading the way right now. They're 8-1, but have won a lot of close games. And USC is actually 8-2, with one of those losses being on a half-court buzzer beater to Stanford. So they've rattled off six in a row right now with a road game at UCLA before going to Arizona and playing at Arizona State. Fortunately, the Arizona schools don't come to Southern California this year. But with that three-game stretch, it'll be interesting to see how USC does. They're a kind of a junior and senior-laden team. So very, very curious to see how they fare over the next three games and if Arizona is able to separate itself and kind of take the Pac-12 or if USC can give them a run for the rest of the year. So with that, well, I just wanted to thank you guys for coming on. This was the first three-way pod we've done, but hopefully can do it again as February gets a little later or going into March Madness. So thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having us. I'm looking forward to watching some good basketball coming down the stretch here.
Yeah, thanks, Sean. Thanks for having us on.
Thank you.